Today, I want to speak about a passage that's been mentioned a couple of times, or an event that was mentioned a few times. I mean, obviously, we're going to be speaking about one event, right? Okay, we're okay. This Christmas Day, we're probably going to be speaking about the birth of Jesus. But there's one particular part of the Christmas story I want to hone in on this morning. And for this to kind of make it more real for you, I want you to join in on the drama, okay? So imagine for me, if you will, cast your minds back. Imagine you were living 2,000 years ago and you're all shepherds, all right? Can you imagine that for me? Shepherds. Okay, I'm a shepherd. Look after sheep. So imagine you're all shepherds. It's late at night. You're sitting around a campfire. Obviously quite a large campfire. Maybe too deep, three deep. I don't know. Sitting around a big campfire. Lots of logs being thrown on. Around you, the sheep. You can hear a gentle bar here and there. Thank you. You're shepherds. Who did that, honestly? So you're sitting around a campfire. Sheep are like sleeping, eating, whatever sheep do. You're telling stories. You know, you're shepherds. You're sitting around. Everyone around a campfire tells stories. Oh, remember when that, you know, sheep gave birth to three triplets? Wow, what a day. We all remember that one. That was great. Remember when, that sheep got lost and we had to go and find it. And they went and found the sheep, brought it back, celebrated. Riveting stories, right? You're shepherds. You don't have much more. That's about it in your life. So you're sitting around sharing stories when all of a sudden, from the night sky, a light beams down and an angel, huge heavenly being, ferocious warrior angel, comes and you're freaked out. And the angel said something important to the shepherds. And I wonder if, Beck, I could call you, because I know you've been doing boxing training, so you're pretty ferocious. I'll get a mic. Number one, I think. Beck, could I get you to read the angel part, which is around about... do not be afraid. No, the whole bit down to there, please. Wait. You're ferocious. You're like a big angel. You guys as shepherds are scared. You're fearful. This is like, okay, power. And take two. You're doing great, Beck. Come on. Oh, no. In front. Like, you are the angel here. I'll stand off to the side. You're doing a great job. I'm like, oh, man. You're nervous. I'm starting to think if I picked the right angel. And you lost the wrong... Come on, you can do it, Beck. Give us some cheers. Shepherds, like, come on, angel. Come on, you can do it, angel. All right, okay, she's ready now.
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people.
That's pretty good. Good, we're all scared. Act scared, people. That's amazing. Great angel. Great, brilliant. Brilliant work. Now, then it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, I don't have a heavenly host out the back. So you are going to have to change from being shepherds. I know, change of mind. Now you're a heavenly host. And they all stood. They stood quickly. It's Christmas, people. Come on. They all stood quickly, and then they said, glory, starting with glory. Where are we? Say on there. Have you got it? Glory down the bottom, 14. They all said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his face. Oh, that's fantastic. You guys did even better than me. Sit down. Whew, well. You can imagine how the shepherds felt when they saw the great light, the bright flashing. And years later, Luke, when he's writing out the Bible, when he's picking up different pieces of evidence and finding out about how Jesus' life began, no doubt he went to these shepherds and they all concurred. Like, as soon as a heavenly host, you know, speak that, you remember those words, right? When the biggest thing that's happened in your life is triplets of sheep, then when suddenly an angel appears, then you remember those words. So years later, Luke talks to these shepherds. They tell him exactly what the angel said. And the angel said, and I think it makes sense, glory to God in the highest heaven. If you had seen God, then every time you come and talk to people, you'd probably be telling people about God, right? So that part to me makes a lot of sense. Glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, then they say, peace to those on whom His favour rests. Now the thinking is that because Jesus came, peace will come upon the earth. And I've been thinking about that this week, thinking about how peace has come onto our earth because of Jesus. And especially this last month, I've been looking back at my life and thinking, how is Christmas a peaceful time? I don't know what you guys think. Have you found the last month a peaceful time? Like I get the words love and joy and hope. When it comes to Christmas, you know, there are these words that come up and we're like, oh yeah, I get that. But when it says peace, and then I think about all of the Christmas carols we go to and the nativity plays at school, the end of year concerts, the award ceremonies, the end of year work Christmas parties, the breakups of different groups that you're part of, it starts to build and build and build, right? And you haven't even got to Christmas Day yet. You've got to start talking about negotiations on who brings what to Christmas Day, who brings the snacks, who's going to grab the prawns, who's going to cook the turkey, and then what day are you going to do it on? Oh, well, that person's going this direction, someone else is going that way, and so you've got to work out, do we do Christmas on Christmas Day or another day? Can you see how Christmas is not very peaceful? It's crazy, it's a mess, it's great, I love it, it's exciting. But one word I wouldn't use to describe Christmas is peaceful. But I guess to be fair to the angels, they didn't say that Jesus came to make the Christmas period a peaceful time, so we can excuse that. But I do think that this word peace really resonates with people at Christmas time. When we hear about the word peace, it's kind of like, yeah, I want that. I want peace. It's something I want to grasp for. I was reading in the newspaper yesterday, a bunch of people were saying what they wanted for Christmas, and a number of them said, I'd love to have world peace. I would love for there to be peace in the world. If that was the gift we got this Christmas, then I would be happy. It's interesting. People who don't even know Jesus would really love to have peace. But then we look at the world around us and we see that the world isn't filled with peace. 2,000 years we've had Jesus, after His birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. 2,000 years later, here we are, and we're looking at the world around us. There are still wars. There's still violence, there's still anger and hatred, there's still countries against countries. It doesn't seem as though, if that was Jesus' sole purpose to bring peace to the world, it doesn't seem as though in 2,000 years He's been able to achieve that yet. So what was this peace that the angel spoke of? Then we move along into a more local area kind of peace, and we think, okay, what about just peace amongst our families? Just amongst our relatives, the people around us. Surely we would think, as Christian parents, surely then our children would be filled with peace, right? Like you would expect that. Good Christian parents, you would expect your children then would be displaying peace. So who here in the last 2 weeks of school holidays has had peaceful children? Whose children have asked them about what they really wanted for Christmas more than talking about Jesus that they were celebrating? Who here had children nagging them to go and do certain things? I want to do this. Can we go here? Can we do that? Whose children have not really been all of that peace-filled? Oh, so man, even in families, it's difficult to get peace. And we hear too that at this time of year, Christmas time is the highest peak of family dysfunction in the whole year. It's mainly because we actually come together at Christmas. We have to be with each other in the same confined space. And so suddenly this time of year in families becomes dysfunctional. There's a lack of peace, it seems, in our society around Christmas. Why would this be? If the angel came and spoke and said that Jesus would bring peace to the earth. And so I thought maybe it is that this peace that Jesus came to bring is in people. That people would be more peace-filled because of Jesus. 2,000 years after Jesus, that here we are, and are people still filled with peace? I heard a story about a young boy who was desperately keen to get a bike for his birthday, and he asked his mum and dad, can I please have a bike for my birthday? Can I please have a bike for my birthday? And he kind of like nagged, just went on. He just wanted a bike. The one thing he wanted was a bike. And it comes to his birthday, he'd asked and asked and asked, and he didn't get his bike. Oh man, I know some of you guys got bikes today. But he didn't get his bike. But then realizing, oh, Christmas is only another month away. I haven't lost out everything. And so he kept asking his mum and dad for a bike for Christmas. And then he realized, oh, that's right. Christmas is kind of like God's birthday. So maybe I should be talking to God about a present. And so he started to pray. Please, God, can I have a bike for Christmas? Can you bring me a bike? Can you make sure that I get a bike for Christmas? He prayed fervently. But about a week before Christmas, he realized, man, God's not talking back. I haven't got any confirmation about this whole bike deal. And so he went to his mantelpiece where he saw this little statue of Mary. And he took it and he wrapped it up in a towel and he put it underneath his socks drawer. And he hid it there. And then he went back to his bed, kneeled down and prayed. And he said, right, Jesus, I've got your mum. And if you want it back, you'll bring me a bike. Even kids sometimes don't have great peace at Christmas, even if they're brought up right. Kirsten and I were just talking the other day with friends about this whole idea that actually it's not only kids, but people who are brought up in a good society, with good morals, with good background and all that kind of stuff, can still make decisions that are incredibly hurtful to other people. Even though you'd expect being brought up in a certain way that would lead to having a good life and being a good person, that even though, you know, goodness has been poured out, they can still bring about dysfunction and hatred and make evil choices that hurt other people. And you probably know people who've done things that have hurt you. You probably understand that people are not always good. And as our conversation continued, we kind of came to the point that actually, as much as it's very easy to be able to look at other people and say they're bad, they do the wrong thing, we could see in our own lives that we're not a long way away from making a bad decision that can hurt other people. So even we can do things that brings about disharmony, disunity into the relationships that we live in. And so with this, with one end, a hope for peace, a desire for peace, but the understanding that peace hasn't really come in a full sense to the world. What is this peace then that the angel speaks of? What is this peace we so desperately hunger for? Why is there such turmoil and dysfunction when the promise of peace was given to us? And I want to turn then to the book of Colossians. In the book of Colossians, the Bible says this. Colossians 1:20 says, through Christ, God decided to bring all things back to himself again. Things on earth and things in heaven. God made peace by using the blood of Christ's death on the cross. Through Christ, God decided to bring all things back to himself again. Things on earth and things in heaven. God made peace by using the blood of Christ's death on the cross. And so it's kind of like God. If you imagine being in space and God is like gravity drawing people to him. At some point, he could see people starting to drift off and people moving away from him. They started to be attracted by different gravitational pulls around them. They saw the things they really wanted, the things of this earth, and they went for them. They really wanted that. They saw relationships that drew them away from God and they went for that and they thought that would make them peaceful and whole. They saw financial gain and they said, oh, I really need that and that will make me happy, that will bring me peace. God, seeing that people were moving away from him, decided to draw people back again. And in that draw, we would kind of think, well, he's all powerful, almighty. God could just tell people. God could force people. God could bring his wrath until people changed. But instead, God came to earth and showed love. Because that's God's character. He saw people drifting away and so knew that the greatest thing they needed wasn't just to bring about a quick fix that would fix everything and bring peace to everyone. But instead, the best way was to be able to show them love. Show us love. And in that love, we would be magnetized. We would be gravitationally pulled back to him. We would see what he did. we would see ourselves and we would know that we need Him once more. And so Jesus came as a baby. But Jesus grew to be a man. And Jesus lived every day of His life. He did nothing wrong. Now, can anyone imagine living one day without doing anything wrong? I don't know if I could even make one, maybe one day, 2 days? Well, that's a stretch, right? But Jesus lived His whole life without doing anything wrong. Because He needed to be the perfect sacrifice. So that when He died a sacrificial death on the cross, that meant that through His death, anything that we've done wrong, we can be forgiven if we just ask Him. If we just ask Him to come back into our lives. If we just move back to Him. And so, because God did that, because God, through His love, drew us back, when we recognize that we need that, when we recognize the guilt and the shame and the turmoil within us, when we realize the wrong things that we've done, we don't want to hold on to anymore, when we come to that point and we say, God, I need You, then He will forgive us of all of our sins, cleanse us once more, and we can have a peace that is outside of any other earthly understanding. We can have a godly peace that cleanses our hearts and our minds and enables us to come back into right relationship with God. That's the kind of peace that the angels spoke about when they said, on earth, peace to those of whom God's favor rests. Those who've come to God are those on whom God's favor rests. And when that happens, suddenly, internally, we don't have conflict anymore. We're given peace. Suddenly, in relationships, we can see people that we found so annoying in the past that every other Christmas, we just roll our eyes and think, do I have to see them again? Or every time at work when we go next to someone, we think, oh, do I have to be with that person? Suddenly, when we realize that we've done things wrong that have offended God, then we start to see, well, they've done things wrong as well. I've been forgiven so that I can then forgive others. And we can bring peace into our relationships. And then when we look at the world, we can see, okay, the world's too big for us to change, but through small steps, through doing small things like giving to Baptist World Aid, helping other people, then we can bring peace into the world around us. Suddenly the world shifts from being a place of turmoil to inside of us, we get peace. To the point where at Christmas we can start singing carols, and the carols are not any longer just a thing we like to do for a month of the year, but the carols become worship. Because they become things to praise God for what He's given to us. We can sing, truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love and His gospel is peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. And we can sing, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. We can sing those things because the God of peace has brought peace into our lives. And it's my hope, it's our hope, that this Christmas you may have the peace that is outside of anything this world could give. And it's our hope that after this Christmas, you will want, you will desire, you will be drawn back into a relationship with God. That this might not be the time that you just come to do Christmas, but this might be the start of a journey of a relationship with God that brings peace into every part of your being. Let's pray. And Lord God, we thank You that You're with us here today, and You're with us every moment of every day. That we celebrate You this day, we particularly come to just thank You for all You've done, but we also remember that You're with us always, guiding, leading, and giving us a peace that cleans our heart and mind and connects us with You, the Maker and Healer of our souls. We thank You, Lord, for our families and friends, and know that now as we go out, we can have great joy as we celebrate together. May we always remember Your incredible love, Your grace, and Your peace. We ask this, Jesus, in Your holy and mighty name. Amen.